Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So far as from the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, who has sent us on a mission of discipling, dear fellow redeemed, this past Thursday, we heard the words of this morning's sermon text in our Ascension worship. At that time, we were encouraged to look to our heavenly home because our place is already assured, it's open to all, and Jesus is already there, ruling over all things. As we heard this morning, before our Savior ascended to heaven, he commissioned his disciples. He called them to go into the world and bring to all people the one thing they need the most: the message of good news. And that message of good news would have the power to convict and to convert. "And don't worry," he said, "I'll be with you every step of the way." Imagine how they must have felt. Excited, probably nervous, but above all, bold and confident in the Lord. Well, this morning the Lord once again lays upon our hearts the Great Commission. He relays to us three very important truths. The first is, he tells us what the commission is. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. And he tells us how to do that commission, baptizing and teaching them all things. Then he tells who is that commission for. All believers, together with the one who is all-powerful. This morning, the Lord is challenging every single one of us here, no matter what your age, to ask yourself this question: what am I doing here? Not what am I doing here in church, but what am I doing here on this earth? What is my purpose for being here? What was I created to accomplish? What was I put on this earth to do? We mentioned that briefly in our Ascension service, that the Lord put us on this earth, first of all, to be brought to faith in him, and then to serve him by serving one another. And therefore, we've been placed on this earth for one main purpose, and that is to serve others by bringing them the good news of Jesus Christ while we keep our eyes focused upon our heavenly home. Our text this morning tells us that. Our main purpose is to go out and spread the gospel for all people, to tell others what we've been told, and make disciples of them all. That's clearly seen in our text this morning. He has gathered his followers in the Mount of Olives, and he said, "I have a commission for you. This is my commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." His is to be a missionary kingdom. His is to be a kingdom where he rules not just in the hearts of a few people in one nation called Israel, but in the hearts of many, countless many people in all the nations of the world. What a privilege it is for us to be given that responsibility, that privilege to be able to call by discipling. And what is discipling? It's simply making followers out of those who were not followers. Now, of course, we know that we can't do that. We can't change dead, unbelieving hearts into living hearts of faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But yet the Lord says, I call you to go out and to disciple all nations, to go out to bring the good news of salvation to all people. Go. Disciple. But how will you do that? He just tells us in the second part, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Baptism, the washing of water with the Word, that sacrament that cleanses away our sins, works faith in our hearts. We're buried with Christ by Him into death, so that we'll walk in newness of life, delivering from death the devil. And now, we are followers of Jesus. So in short, the way that we are to disciple others is the same way we were discipled, by bringing the Word of God to them. For many of us here this morning, that occurred when we were little babies, little infants. And the Word of God through baptism was applied to us as well as the water of baptism, and we were brought to faith. The Holy Spirit worked faith in their hearts, and we became children of God. But not everyone is brought to Jesus as a little child. There are countless millions upon millions of people who are adults today who don't know Jesus. What about them? Well, the same thing. We bring them the Word. We tell them all things that Christ has commanded us. First of all, and this is very important, we need to tell them the law. Every single person in this world is born with a sinful nature, sinful flesh. And that sinful nature has a thing called pride attached to it. Everyone looks upon themselves as being better than someone else. And by our sinful nature, we believe that we can do what that God up there, whoever he is, demands of us. And therefore, we can earn our own way into utopia or heaven or whatever they call eternal life. And so we need to proclaim the law so that everyone can see that we are not good people like our sinful flesh tells us we are. We need to proclaim such things as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none that does good. No, not even one. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That is, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. We need to tell them that so that they see their sins, and so that we see our sins as well. By proclaiming these words from God, the sinner is shown that he and all of mankind are condemned, miserable, lost sinners, in whom, in God's eyes, there is no goodness at all. Not a speck of righteousness in us at all. That try as they might, they cannot and we cannot earn our way. Because God demands perfect, obedient love in every one of our thoughts. Every one of them. In every one of our words. In every one of our actions. God doesn't settle for second best. He doesn't say, if it's close, that counts. Or, it's good enough. With God, it's either all or nothing. And so by ourselves, it's nothing. We and all of mankind, by nature, are condemned. That's the first message we need to tell people. But then we need to proclaim the good news, the great news. Not just me from the pulpit here, but every single one of you needs to tell the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. To say things like this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all that sin of ours. that the gift of God is eternal life. That by grace we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That Christ was crucified for us, that we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We need to tell this world of sinners that God's love for us is so incomprehensible, so beyond our imagining, that He took His own Son and damned Him for you and me. That He chose His Son Jesus to take our place and said, Son, You keep all My commandments. You be perfect in thought, word, and deed. And when Jesus did and offered to His Father, He said, okay, now you also need to pay for their sins. And all of our guilt, all of our sins was laid upon His Son, and He experienced and endured God's forsakenness for us, damned upon the cross for us. So when God the Father raised His Son back from the grave, He declared every one of us to be not guilty, innocent, righteous in His eyes. Through Jesus, we have forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life, and salvation. And that's what discipling is all about. Baptizing and teaching. Teaching the whole counsel of God's Word, of our salvation. And then let the Holy Spirit do its work. The work of convicting and of converting. We don't do the making. All we do is the proclaiming. The Holy Spirit does the work. What a simple, simple calling. If you can talk, you can disciple. But how can we, who are so weak and frail and sinful, even do that? That's the third part of this, our sermon text this morning. Who is the Lord called to do the discipling? All of us, all believers in Christ. But not alone. All disciples through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't say to His disciples there on the Mount of Olives, okay, here's your calling. I'm believing you now. You're on your own. Do your best. I'll see you in a couple thousand years. Good luck to you. No, He assured every single one of them and us. And behold, look, I'll be with you always. Even to the end of the age. And that means the end of time, when eternity begins. There is never, ever, ever a time when you are out speaking to someone about Jesus or telling them about God's love that you are alone. Never. Christ is always with us. Not only when we witness with our lips and our mouth, but as we live our daily lives, when we witness with our hands and our actions, we're not alone in this business of discipling. And he who said He'd be with us always gave us this great promise, all authority, that means absolute power over everything, has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Jesus rules over everything. We heard that this last Sunday. What a comforting truth that is, that Christ rules all things, my life, your life, the history of this world. Our commissioning really is a co-mission. We're not alone. We're not just Christ's mouthpiece, His ambassadors, His spokesmen, who do this alone. We're in Christ and He is in us and with His Word. So we are co-missionaries together with Jesus. Just think where we would be if someone had not spoken the Word to us. If our parents had not brought the Word of God to us, or if our spouse had not had the Word of God brought to him and or her, and then she or he told us, or our friends. What if the disciples wouldn't have left Jerusalem? What if they wouldn't have gone out into all the world? What if they just would have had a once-a-year mission festival and got stirred up once a year to be excited about discipling. Would we be here today? Would we have this great truth and peace and joy in our hearts of knowing Jesus? Our Savior says to every lost sinner, come, come to me. And to every converted sinner, he says, go, go out for me. You know, so often when we have a sermon on mission work, we think of missionary Ed Starkey or Matt Udy and their work over there in Nepal, in India, Nigeria, Congo. But in reality, mission work begins right here at home with our families, our friends, our fellow workers, our strangers, our neighbors. For it's true that the light that shines the farthest is the one that shines the brightest at its base. Our concern for the salvation of people in other parts of the world is measured by a concern for the salvation of those who are nearest and dearest to us. In all the years that you have lived, whether it be 15 years, 35, 55, or 75, ask yourself, how many minutes of all the countless minutes the Lord has blessed us with, how many minutes have you used in telling people the one thing needful? How many minutes have you used in speaking to others about Jesus' love for them? What is life? His death? His resurrection? If it's not very many, then sadly, you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be that way. Our Savior, who filled our hearts by having someone else tell us about Him, will fill our hearts with zeal, with courage, with boldness, with eagerness to do the same thing. We'll have a burning desire, for Christ will use us as His instrument. Christ will use us together with Him as a co-missionary to proclaim the good news to people. What an exciting, what a thrilling calling Christ has given every single one of us believers in Christ. Our congregation doesn't exist here just to meet our own spiritual needs. As you know, our congregation exists to bring the gospel to the lost, to tell others about Jesus. With that in mind, such things as speaking our faith to others, telling those people whom we meet about Jesus Christ, supporting our mission activities here within the congregation, being involved with mission activities around the world by supporting our synod-wide things, will not just be a once-a-year thing or every other day, but it'll be an everyday calling. That as we keep our eyes focused on our heavenly home, we're focusing on the needs of others and how they need to hear about Jesus as well. Someone has asked, what in the world are you doing, for heaven's sake? Think about that. What in the world are you doing, for heaven's sake? Let's turn our hearts in prayer. Oh, give me, Lord, your love for souls, for lost and wandering sheep, that I may see the multitudes and weep, as you did weep. From off the altar of your heart, take some flaming coals and touch my life, and give me, Lord, a heart that burns for souls. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.